Well, good morning and welcome to the Carson Anderson program. I'm Doug Karsh. That is Scott Anderson. Hello, Scott Anderson.
Hi, Doug Karsh.
What's up?
Well, just enjoying a, it was a good night last night.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on last night.
Mm-hmm.
Good hoops, good hockey, good times, and a good football game in college football.
The FCS championship game?
Yes, sir.
Brock Speck has a kicking problem. Illinois State's kicker had two kicks blocked at the end that could have won him the national championship, but whatever. I'm going to say something here, and you tell me if it's too much or it's totally true. Kang, I want you to sound off on this one too. Is it too much or totally true? Knicks, Cavs, Pacers, Celtics, your time is over. The East goes through Detroit. Full stop. Too much or totally true?
I don't think it's totally. I think it's totally true for this year. I think when guys get back to the floor, it might be a different story. Now we're going to have some real competition.
Hang another year on those guys.
Right? No, I like that. I like the chestiness, and I think it's mostly true. I think it does go through Detroit this year. I think you want to win the East, you got to beat the Pistons.
Kang, is it too much or spot on?
For the 25-26 season, it's totally true. I think it goes through Detroit this year. The Knicks, I think they have more like talent, pure talent. You know, Brunson, Karl-Anthony Towns, those, you know, Mikal Bridges. Those guys are legit dudes in this league. I don't trust Mike Brown at all. I know it's a terrible hire at coach. I think the Pistons, they're the team to beat in the East until proven otherwise. And they just proved it last night. Last night was belt to ass, boys. Belt to ass.
They clowned on the Knicks.
30-point win in front of Spike Lee.
On many occasions, I would like feel a sense of I'd feel sad for the other team. Like, oh, these poor guys. And I almost did, except it was the Knicks. So I didn't feel at least bit sad.
No.
And by almost did, I mean I didn't really at all. They beat the crap out of the Knicks.
31 points. I think that's a drubbing. That is officially a drubbing. Once you get past 20, it's definitely a drubbing. But they got past 30. They put so much pressure on the Knicks throughout the game. It beat them in every facet of the game. The only place they didn't beat them at was the free throw line. But outside of that, I mean, they shot well over 50% from the field. They shot over 50% from threes. They out-rebounded them, I think, 40 to 30. They committed fewer turnovers. They were stealing the ball. They were blocking the ball. They just did an amazing job. And
block shots, second chance opportunities.
So I'm flipping earlier. I watched right before halftime. I had the game on, and I saw that Jalen Brunson had like 17 points. He was scoring a bunch, and Cade at that time I think had 14, and then Cade drains a three and hits a layup and does something else, and the next thing you know he's got 20, but he had like 9 assists already. So Cade finishes with 29 points and 13 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson had 25 points
and
0 assists.
Zero.
Not a one from your point guard. Your point guard had 0 assists. Not much of a point guard if you're going to have 0 assists. Now, Brunson is a good player. He's a little bit unethical when it comes to scoring. He's always complaining. But you got to do more to help out your team, buddy. And he didn't. He did nothing to help out his team. 25 points, great, but you did not have a single assist in the game. Cade outscored you. And he added another 13 assists that lead to at least 26 points.
I got to hand it to the fans that were there last night. The persistence and the commitment to booing Jalen Brunson. It takes discipline. It takes a lot of, you know, stamina. Whole game, let him have it. Was there an FU Brunson in there mixed in? It was hard to tell through TV.
Oh, Doug, I don't think people would chant something like that.
Well, fans in Michigan never say anything that crossed the line.
Not in the college or pro.
No. Was there an F.U. Brunson, Kang? Did you hear an F.U. Brunson coming through the TV last night?
I did not.
Oh, I thought I heard it.
Was it your wife that was saying it? She's a basketball junkie.
She is. 248-539-9797. Is it too much to say that the East goes through Detroit? Did the Pistons send the message that you're ready to plant that flag? The East goes through Detroit.
By the way, props to Kang for the shirt today.
The Pistons green?
I love that one from a couple years ago.
I got to tell you, I am so excited because at some point I'm going to debut. One of my kids got me for Christmas something Pistons related, and you are going to hate it, which excites me.
Sounds like a hat. And sounds like it's going to be flat brimmed and awful.
Does that fake hair on it? I know you hate the fake hair.
No.
Fake
hair. Oh no. If you don't even bother if that's it.
Gator did put on his list is visor fake hair guy.
Like the troll type hair, right? Yeah, that it spikes exactly. Up. Yeah.
Well, you'll see. It'll probably debut this week. 248-539-9797. Now let's get to your phone calls. Tyler out of Cell, you're on 97.1. Hi, Tyler.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good.
All right.
Hey, I'd like to hear what Robinson's got to say today after that Detroit's got a little good basketball team. Cute little basketball team.
Yeah, that was out of New York.
I bet it's a different ring to it today. Couple things. I think, obviously, they're off to an amazing start. One, we haven't seen in quite a while. They're playing just absolute caliber basketball, just front and end of it. They got depth, man. They got some depth where a lot of our teams, we can't say that, you know. We guys get hurt on these other teams. We get pulled these guys off the streets, it seems like. And with the Pistons, man, you get the bench out there with a regular – with just starting with the bench. And you're feeling confidence with the starters. So they got depth, which is awesome. The regular season is obviously a little different than the playoffs, but we're enjoying the ride right now, man. We're enjoying it as Detroit fans.
It's really refreshing, and they're doing it shorthanded. They're doing it against teams that are healthy and in a definitive fashion. Like, I'm going to guess that deep down last night's game meant more to Detroit and the Detroit locker room than it meant to the 100%. Knicks locker room. So 100%. I'm not going to dismiss that. But it wasn't like the Pistons won by 12.
No, it was a 10-point lead at half, and then all of a sudden it's 15, 20. And then they kind of, you know, the Knicks tried to come back a little bit, but at the end of the day, they just put them in their place, and it was great to see. It was awesome to see Spike Lee there, all sad and disappointed. Go to Brunson, throwing a fit. It's just great. It was great.
Even at the end, their head coach, they had a camera shot of the head coach with his head in his hands, and he was leaning forward. You couldn't see his face.
Mark Brown.
It was great. Actually, it was one of the assistants. No, I'm sorry. I got confused with the USC game. My bad.
Who also took a belt,
yeah.
Belt to the hindquarters yesterday.
My bad.
Yes, that was a rough trip through Michigan for the USC Trojans. Nonetheless, the Pistons' definitive victory over the Knicks, that was wholly satisfying. 248-539-9797. Is it too early to say that the road to the NBA Finals, the East, goes through Detroit? Got some feedback coming in on this. Want your phone calls as well. Are you comfortable with that statement here in Detroit right now? And if not, that's fine. Like, I totally get if you want to see more. But it is trending in a very good direction with this young core. I got some line stuff to get to. The best of what Dan Campbell said to the media yesterday. A little foreshadowing of what's ahead. Red Wings with a win last night. So lots coming up here on Carson Anderson here on 97.1. New York Post headline today. Knicks inexcusable no-show comes with hard to ignore realities. One of those hard to ignore realities is the East goes through Detroit. Are you comfortable with that statement? 248-539-9797. Jason on Twitter says, it's a little too early. We all remember what happened last year when everybody started predicting the Tigers would win the Central. Arvell tweets us and says, true. Is there any lesson to be learned with what the Tigers did? Is there any relevant comparison, or are they completely apples and oranges? Doesn't matter.
I think it's apples and oranges, different sports, different teams, different rosters. I think the Pistons roster top to bottom is outstanding. I don't think the Tigers roster top to bottom is outstanding. I think the Tigers roster had an outstanding starting pitcher and a few really good players. And then, you know, some mediocrity sets in. Maybe they
had
the
a lot of role players.
Maybe they had
a high
role player. Yeah, maybe they had a high basement, but a high floor. But yeah, it's the Pistons roster is great.
Let's go to Andrew in Detroit. And you're on 97.1. Hi, Andrew.
What's going on, fellas? Without question, the East goes to Detroit.
Come on.
Because let's call it what it is. The East is not that good and that competitive a conference. The only other team we really got to worry about are the Heat and the Knicks. So with that said, I believe we have a better roster than the Knicks, a better team. The difference between the Tigers and the Pistons is with the Tigers, you got your starting pitcher, but he only pitches, what, once every five games or something like that. With K, he's in there every game, unless, you know, he's out for injury or whatever. But you have a consistent, steady roster. Now, the only thing I would prefer a big man, a forward that we can trust a little bit more with the scoring. I'm not a big fan of Tobias. I think he's too up and down, very not consistent. So if we can find a consistent four, there's nobody that should be able to beat us out East without question.
Well, the trade deadline is going to be fascinating because I think the Pistons have a roster that screams the least to make a trade out of all the Detroit teams, but the situation may scream the most to make a trade. And what I mean by that is they've got such a young core. If they just keep the band together, I feel like there is a good chance that this group, if not this year, eventually is going to be in a good position for a 5-6 year stretch in the East. Like if you trade for a win now player, I don't have an issue with that. But they're already playing like the best team in the East. All those other teams that I mentioned, if they get healthy, they may bring Detroit down, but they're also much older. We did the average age thing last year with the Celtics and the Pacers and the Knicks. And Detroit was so much younger than everybody else that the motivation to keep the band back together and just run this conference for a good period of time is there. It's there. But you're not going to make a trade at the trade deadline to get what he asked for or to get, you know, what we've had Michael Porter Jr. and we've had Lauri Markkanen. You're not going to make one of those moves without giving up one and probably two young pieces that are contributing now. So, it's an interesting spot Trajan Langdon's in. Trajan Langdon, I'm not going to say we know him, okay? But we've talked to him a couple times. We've had him on the show. We don't know him.
I'm glad you didn't say that.
No, I'm not saying it. But he seems like a steady.
He is focused.
Yep. And but
doesn't get too high or too low.
I don't think he's going for headlines.
No, he's just putting together a roster that's, you know, best in the Eastern Conference at this point. One of the best rosters in all of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The Athletic came out with their power rankings and the Pistons are number two. And this is before last night's game. I mean, they're getting some respect. They actually were among the top headlines on ESPN.com today for what they did to the Knicks. So they're starting to get
story about, was it about the, sorry, I'm going to get super cynical here.
No, I understand.
Was it about the Pistons or was it more like, what's going on with the Knicks?
Well, the headline, it's more about the Knicks. It says, drubbed in Detroit, skidding Knicks seek answers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we were the supporting actor in that story.
Sure, but we'll take it. At least you're starting to get some kind of notice, although it's because a New York team was involved, but I think it's starting to tilt a little bit. I'd love for the Pistons to go out there and get a sharp shooter that can really lift this team. I worry about the chemistry, and I don't want to mess with the chemistry on this team.
Yep.
But I trust Trajan Langdon to get it done. I think Trajan Langdon's made some great additions to this team. And I heard somebody bring this up in the morning show as I was driving in, talking about, you know, the solution is simple. The solution is Malik Beasley, if he's cleared. That's a guy you put right back on the roster. He knocks down three-point shots. If that's what they're missing, that's a guy. And I understand that, but the further and further we get into the season and he hasn't been completely cleared yet, you know, yeah, I have time to get him ready to go and acclimated. And I think that takes more than just a couple weeks, I think, because you got to worry how does he fit into a rotation. And so I don't know. They've got some things to work out if they want to add another player to this team. And I imagine they're going to try to add players or player or players to this team.
Scott writes in, I cringe a little when you say that, especially after what happened to the Lions in the playoffs last year and the Tigers down the stretch. It's barely January.
Well, even though I do bring up the jinx factor in things, I think we can all agree that what Doug has to say has no bearing on how the Pistons are going to play basketball or how the rest of the league is. He can be chesty about it. He can feel chesty. What's the harm in it? Is the harm that you get let down if they don't do something special?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. So here's the thing about it is bringing up the Lions and the Tigers, is it completely irrelevant? No, I don't think it's completely irrelevant. It speaks to how, you know, things change over the course of seasons. Seasons are very long. Anything that's said about the Pistons right now that's definitive always comes with a caveat as long as they're healthy. And part of the reason I feel comfortable saying this, and I don't think it's like a huge amount on some real long limb here, is that those other teams aren't, but fully cognizant of how injuries can change things. Because the fact of the matter is, what happened to the Lions in the playoffs last year when they went 15-2 in the regular season, the part that gets overlooked is the miracle that it was to get to 15-2 despite all the injuries they had. I mean, they went 15-2 and they were shredded.
Yeah.
Now they go to the playoffs. They don't play close to perfect everywhere else, which is kind of what they did to get to 15-2. And those injuries and all their warts got exposed. So as long as they stay healthy, and seasons are long and lots can change, but a shorthanded Pistons team clowned on the Knicks, clowned on them. And I think Isaiah Stewart's impact on the defensive end and the ability to block shots impacted the Knicks' shot selection.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, you know, the rebounding and the second chance, I didn't even see how many offensive rebounds the Pistons finished with, but I bet it was a ton. And I bet their second chance points were a ton. Does the road, are you comfortable saying that the road to the East goes through Detroit?
Pistons had 14 offensive rebounds. The Knicks had 5.
Okay. There you go. So
that's the difference there. Yeah, it's great to see Isaiah Stewart blocking shots like crazy. It's what he does. I had 2 more blocks last night, had 3 offensive rebounds last night. Paul Reed had 5 offensive rebounds last night, you know, coming in and having to do a spot start because of Jalen Duren being out. And it's not just those guys playing defense. I mean, you also know that you can sick the hounds on any team, and it's here comes Asar Thompson and Ron Holland. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. So the Pistons missed 39 shots last night. When they missed a shot, they got 14 of those 39 rebounds. The Knicks had 25. That is a comfortable place you are in when you're getting 2 out of every 5 offensive. Every shot that you miss, 2 out of every 5, you're getting the offensive rebound. That's a really, really good place to be. Did I get that ratio right? I'm not sure I did. No, I don't think I did. 3 out of every 8? Whatever it is. You're rebounding a lot.
Yeah, well, you're rebounding and you're blocking them. They had 11 blocks last night on 76 shots from the Knicks. So you work that percentage, and it's pretty good that, you know, when more than 10% of your shots that go up are getting knocked down.
248-539-9797. This Piston team is the real deal. They have been so much fun to watch this year. Our roster runs deep. It's exciting stuff. Evan in Ann Arbor says, I was at the game last night, and yes, there was definitely an FU Brunson chant. Okay, I thought so. More texts are coming in confirming that. Thank you, John and Lake Orion. You also confirmed it. JB is a mastermind. Depth, boys, depth. Fun city. Boys, that game last night was like Michael Irving taking off his belt after the Hurricanes beat Ohio State. From an unnamed texter, the East.
He was pretty happy.
Yes, he was. I think he's probably aware the cameras are on him.
Oh. When you make Ray Lewis look calm in a celebration,
right?
You're pretty excited.
From an unnamed texter, the East does go through Detroit this year. The Pistons crush the Jalen Brunsons without two starters and a key reserve. That should scare the rest of the East. Chris and Ken, yeah, there were definitely a few Brunson chants. I thought so. 248-539-9797. Great night at LCA. Are you comfortable with the statement that the East runs through Detroit? In the meantime, the MVP chance for Cade and the Pistons' odds to win the East, the latest update straight ahead at 10:31. Definitive statement win last night at LCA, 97-1. Does the East run through Detroit? Are you comfortable with that now? Knicks, I mean, just clowned on last night by the Pistons. At LCA, from an unnamed texter, no planet should this team just sit on their hands at the trade deadline. They might be on top now, but I guarantee you the other teams in the East will make moves to get better, so you have to do everything you can to stay ahead of it. If you don't, you will end up like the Tigers. Well, there's one massive difference, okay? There's a couple massive differences, the biggest of which is the Pistons are doing this with basically all young guys and Tobias. It's like they got Unk over there and a whole bunch of kids, and they're currently running the East. If they are to make a move, they're going to be taking on salary. Presumably that means, if they are taking on salary, you're assuming you're going to lose a Ron Holland or a Jaden Ivey, and Ivey looked pretty damn good last night, but you're going to lose a Ron Holland and or a Jaden Ivey and Unk because Tobias makes so much money and you got to make salaries match. He's probably almost a required player to go the other direction. But they also have to consider that Jalen Duren's probably making himself a lot of money this year as he'll be a restricted free agent at the end of the year. So, you know, they have probably more motivation to be patient. The Tigers have had is ticking clock and Scooble. And it feels like NFL windows don't stay open forever. But I just feel like this Piston team is set up where I don't know that they need to be desperate at all or super motivated. I mean, this guy said no planet should this team just sit on its hands at the trade deadline. Are those other teams going to make moves? Or those other teams, like, are Indiana and Boston going to say, okay, fine, got it, this is your year, but we're getting Halliburton back, you know, that kind of thing?
I would think that those teams, I mean, put yourself in the shoes of a GM of one of those teams. You have to look at your long-term goals and long-term when it comes to contracts and where you're at for next year and the year after that. Does it make sense for them to go out and get a big time player? Because there are players that are rumored to be traded. You know, Trae Young is, rumors are hot and heavy that he could be gone soon from Atlanta. And same thing with Anthony Davis, that he could be traded. And, you know, either of those players would make some team significantly better, assuming they're not giving up too much of their core. And what I read about Trae Young didn't seem to think that, you know, it would cost too much to get players in return. Really what they want is expiring contracts and draft capital out of it. So, you know, it remains to be seen. Would there be anything more annoying if he got traded to the Knicks?
Oh my God. Trae Young and Jalen Brunson. The same
I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying, like, you got two guys like that. Yikes. I mean, but with Brunson not having a single assist last night, was that a fluke? Or is he just not a real true point guard?
Well, he's pretty good. I mean, I think it was more of a fluke than anything. The Pistons.
Or is he just overwhelmed having the weight of the team on his shoulders while he's facing the Detroit Pistons, the best team in the Eastern Conference.
The Pistons are a regular season try-harder winning team, which is effective in this load management NBA, but their talent is still not championship level, and I expect that to show in the playoffs. Well, championship level and, you know, winning the East isn't exactly the steepest edifice, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, the West is the power broker in the NBA right now. So when you have an injured Boston, an injured Indiana, I mean, I guess the Pistons are injured too, but they haven't lost a critical player for the entire season.
Do not apologize.
Well, I'm not, but there is a difference between championship caliber and winning the East. I mean, I guess if you get to the NBA Finals, you're a championship caliber team, but the path to get there, I think the Pistons can navigate that. I wouldn't feel the same if they were in the West.
Well, I like the team. I like how they're playing. I know you like the team, too. You like how they're playing. I think that their defense can keep them with any team in basketball. And if they get enough, I mean, a night like last night where they're just explosive everywhere, you know, when they're knocking down every three-point shot, they're knocking down any two-point shot. You know, if they miss their shots, they got their own rebounds. I mean, last night was a near-perfect performance. It was one of the best games you've seen them play.
The only thing I will say that discounts last night's win is you always have to consider the championship hangover. And the Knicks might be experiencing the NBA Cup championship hangover.
Well played, sir. I was ready to take a sip, and I'm glad I didn't, because when you said NBA Cup, you know what an NBA Cup junkie I am.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm like, wait a minute. The Knicks didn't win the championship. What are you doing? Oh, NBA Cup. Oh, good point. Excellent point.
I thought so.
I mean, it's really hard to play a regular season game after you've won the NBA Cup.
After you've won the NBA Cup, everything else, you know, are they just going through the motions, friends?
That's what it sounds like.
Yep. More tweets coming in. Pat writes in to the tweet, true or false, the East goes through Detroit. Pat says, true. This version of the going-to-work Pistons are a talented group of young players who are constantly getting better. Marlon says, after that statement win last night with no Duren or Harris, it's absolutely true. The doubters and the league are definitely on notice. It's time for the entirety to give this team respect. The entire entirety. I like it.
That seems like it's really impressively long.
Kang, I want your take on the guy who texted in and said, playoff basketball is different.
First of all, playoff basketball is different, okay? But that doesn't mean the Pistons' style can't translate to the playoffs. Now, in playoff basketball, the biggest thing that happens is the bench gets shortened. Mm-hmm. You run, instead of a 8-9-man rotation, you run like 7 guys out there, 7-8 maybe, okay? But what the Pistons have is depth, right? Mm-hmm. But I think they can overwhelm you with that energy and defensive pressure constantly from new guys, new bodies coming in. And that's where I think it can translate to the playoffs. Now, I can't imagine they place 10 guys in the playoffs, but maybe they can. You know, like it's going to be hard not to put Javonte Green out there. I mean, he's productive. His plus minus is always a positive. Danis Jenkins to the rescue. He's done something where I think you have to play him. I think you're forced to play Danis Jenkins on a night in, night out basis off the bench. And I like Marcus Sasser and I like Jaden Ivey, but the guy's productive every time he's on the court. And so, can that translate to the playoffs? Now, it's different lights, more pressure, more people, more eyeballs. All that stuff plays a factor, and that's why playoff basketball is different. But I think as far as the East is concerned, I think that the Pistons can do it, because part of the reason they're so good is the pressure they put on you, the energy. They don't stop. They play at level 10 like the entire game. They don't turn it up in the fourth quarter of the second half.
And I guess that's maybe another concern, is playing at level 10 the entire game. Do you burn out? I mean, you can't. I mentioned we get to odds. So there were the MVP chance last night. Now, does anybody expect that Cade Cunningham has emerged as the NBA MVP favorite?
He's the favorite?
No, I'm saying, do you expect that he is? Do you think that he is?
I don't think that he is, but I think he's in a conversation.
I find this very interesting. SGA is minus 450 to win MVP. He's the favorite. Luka is plus 600. Cade is plus 3,000. Now, we do see things through Detroit colored glasses,
but
does plus 3,000 feel like that's a decent investment?
That's great value. It's great value. It is, because it's not absurd if Cade continues to play this way, and the Pistons, if they cement the fact that they're the one seed in the East. And then, you know, I hate to throw this out there, but one of the reasons why Jokic isn't out there is because he's hurt. Injuries happen too. I mean, to get that value, Cade's an injury or two away from being the top, you know, the favorite to be the NBA MVP. But yeah, that's great value.
I thought so too. To win the East, do you think the Pistons are currently the favorite to win the East?
Yes.
Kang, do you think they're currently the favorite?
Yes.
The Knicks are plus 260. Boston is plus 300. Detroit is plus 440.
Wow.
That's third. Pretty good value there. Plus 440? 4-1 odds there, man.
Just saying. To win it all, OKC is plus 105, Denver plus 850, the Knicks plus 1,200, Houston plus 1,200, San Antonio plus 1,300, Boston plus 1,800, Detroit plus 2,000.
There's more value there. 20-1.
I mean, if you're chesty, and I'm always in favor of putting your dollar somewhere.
Your dollar.
Just a dollar. I mean, a plus 3,000 gets you $30 on Cade. It's not bad, huh? I was kind of surprised by those numbers.
No, and I think it's cute that the Knicks are higher. That's cute. It's a cute little tidbit.
I'm going to see. These numbers I got off FanDuel's website, I'm going to check my phone and the app and make sure those are accurate. But that's how it stands right now. Piston fans, are you comfortable with the safe statement that the East goes through Detroit? 248-539-9797. Take your phone calls and feedback. Just to remind you, you can stream the show with video, twitch.tv and youtube.com. Check it out. Go to those websites, and in the search bar at the top of both those websites, type in 971 the ticket, and bang, there we are. Additionally, streaming streaming through our website, 971theticket.com, where Evan has posted Champ and Chump as voted for by the people. Who do you got as champ of the weekend? Who did you have as chump of the weekend? See if your vote indeed is who won champ and chump at 971theticket.com. Also streaming through the Odyssey app. Get it for your mobile device today. AUDACY. It's Carson Anderson on 97.1. Are we doing our show at night? How dark is it outside right now?
It's pretty dark.
Doug, it was like this. I think you were off last week, and it was just Gator, I think, solo. Me and Kenny are back here. We turned around, and we're like, when did it become midnight?
Yeah. It
was like 10:45 a.m.
It's so dark outside right now, and it's 10:45.
Yeah, I just looked up. I was like, oh, my God.
It's exactly 10:45 a.m.
A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. Twilight Zone.
You're going there?
Well, it seemed appropriate.
Yeah.
It's nighttime.
It is nighttime outside. And by the way, I don't know what your neighborhood was like.
Yeah, the wolves come out at night, too.
So do the freaks, Gator. They do come out at night. Surface streets on the west side were ice rinks this morning. I left the house. It was probably about 7:15.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving out of my neighborhood at about 4 miles an hour. I got to a main road, and we were probably about half speed. I think it's 45. I was around 20, 25. Mm-hmm. Freeways weren't bad, but originally, like, I saw four cars in the ditch in the first 5 minutes.
Wow.
And I imagine tow truck drivers were busy pulling people out of ditches early this morning. Well, it depends, I guess, where you are in Metro Detroit. On the west side, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, my subdivision, the roads in the subdivision were bad. They're iced over, and I thought that they would be, looked like last night they were going to get nice and cleared up, but then the rain came, freezing rain, and changed things up. I think it's supposed to warm up, so that'll change hopefully soon, real soon. But nonetheless, it can be an issue for sure.
You didn't have any major problems?
No. And once I got out onto the main roads, there was no issue at all.
Kang, you were good too?
Yeah, I was good.
All right. Yeah, it was definitely slippery where I was coming from, but I didn't get a chance to tell the story yesterday because we did have a something happen over the holiday break. So had a recall on our Jeep. And so you take the Jeep in and the fine folks at Cooter, which do an incredible job out there in Ipsy, offer us when they offer a loaner. Do you need a loaner? I said, well, we do, but we're going up north and we're going to take the Jeep up north. And they said, that's fine. You can take the loaner up north.
Great.
I'm like, awesome. I'm like, are you sure? Yeah. I'm like, this is unbelievable customer service. So we've got, got the Jeep, we got a Grand Cherokee and it's beautiful. And we take it up north on Christmas Day. Took two cars up north with the whole family. Mom and Dad were up there to our place. And the day after Christmas, I did the show from up there. And I just get done. We got a whole bunch of stuff to do. Actually, we're headed out for lunch. Mom, Dad, the wife, my daughter, blah, blah, blah. And my oldest phone rings. It's my oldest. And he says, Dad, I just got in an accident.
Oh.
He had gone down to Boyne Mountain to ski, was on his way back, slid off the road into a ditch, and trashed the loaner.
Oh, no. One car accident?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And he was fine?
He was fine. Yes. Which I thank you for asking. And that's everybody did. That's the first thing, including when I had to make that phone call. Hey, so you remember that car that you loaned us? Oh, yeah, it's boy. In a ditch. I got to tell you, I have once I knew he was okay, and he immediately called a tow truck. Actually, a tow truck was driving past.
Oh.
And he basically said, yeah, you're like the 10th guy pulled out of a ditch today. But it took a while because it was like in a swampy area and he landed on a log. And I mean, just a nightmare.
Wow.
But the car was no longer drivable. But the guys at Cooter were unbelievable. And what I didn't know, I kind of knew, but I didn't know, is, okay, how's this get covered now? But apparently the police officer showed up, told my son, if you have a loaner for a recall, your insurance covers it.
Wow.
Which I'm like,
that's specific.
That's very specific language. Check the box. And I'm like, thank you. Now, we still have to pay the deductible. But the guys at Cooter were unbelievable. The first thing they said, one of the first things they said to us, do you need us to bring in another loaner? I'm like,
yes, we do. Yes, we do. That would, that's only appropriate at this point.
So anyway,
or were you like, you can do that? Is that an option?
I was like, no, we're going to figure it out with the one car. And thankfully my son had buddies coming up that could help out with taking stuff and people back.
Sure.
But, you talk about once he was okay, a bit of a headache. Like a very specific headache, you have a loaner and you trash it. Great. So I pulled it out. I found out today that the car's still up there and they're going to have to ship it back to do the work on it, but insurance covers it. So bit of a relief. 248-539-9797. So the Pistons clown on the Knicks last night. Meanwhile, the Red Wings go to Ottawa and win 5-3. Ottawa with two disallowed goals. Two disallowed goals. You don't see that all the time. One on an offsides, the other on goaltender interference. I haven't had a chance to ask you, how do you feel about DeBrincat not making the Olympic team?
I have mixed feelings on it. And same thing with Patrick Kane. I think DeBrincat belongs on the Olympic team. I haven't studied it enough to say that this guy doesn't and he belongs in over this guy.
Because that's what you always have to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's only fair. But so I'm fine with him not being on it because I don't want to risk injury to another player when this season is going well right now, and I'm knocking on wood here, particularly after the 5-3 win last night, I don't want to see injuries mount with this team to key players. So if that means that DeBrincat and Kane stay back for a couple weeks during the Olympic break, okay, fair enough, because we saw what happened last year. Dylan Larkin was played out of his mind in the Four Nations Cup and got hurt and was not the same player when he came back. And the Red Wings also dealt with the injury to Andrew Kopp last year, which was really significant. We didn't give it enough credit at the time how significant that injury was for what he meant to the team. He's just one of these glue guys. And those two guys, Kopp being out and then Larkin not being up to snuff because of the injury, that led to the demise in March again for a third straight year. So I'd like to get clear of March this year without any drama. So I think I'm okay with DeBrincat not playing. Now I just have to worry about Seider, Raymond, and Larkin representing their countries, and that's going to be nerve-wracking enough.
So I don't know what the timeline was of that announcement coming out. Here's what I do know. DeBrincat had one assist in the last seven games in January, and then it went goal, assist to start February. If this somehow puts a little rocket fuel in Alex DeBrincat to prove, hey, I belonged on this team, if he's disappointed on it and it serves as any motivation, because ultimately what we're talking about here is the best chance. You want, what we care about is the Red Wings winning the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you care. Maybe I shouldn't speak for everybody. What I care about more is the Red Wings winning the Stanley Cup and going as far as they can in the postseason. First, making it.
Let's make the playoffs.
Because we've got, as Gator once referred to it, the Munch of Marth coming up.
Yeah.
And the Munch of Marth has been bad to the Red Wings the last 2 years. You get to the trade deadline, comes and goes, and the Red Wings go in the tank. So if they can get through March, make the playoffs, then it's about making the longest run possible. If this takes a little wear and tear off the treads and a little rocket fuel, specifically for DeBrincat, and I guess Kane too, then good. Like, okay, fine. You know, if they didn't want to be in the Olympic team, that's fun. It's really fun, and it's fun to have your guys to root for.
And I think, you know, Simon Edvinson is probably upset that he didn't make Team Sweden because he's had a really, really nice season this year with the Red Wings. Okay. If it's added, as you say, fuel to the fire, chip on your shoulder, whatever you need to get motivated and stay motivated during the break. You know, during the break, a lot of people are like, oh, okay, I can take a few days, go to the beach, and just decompress a while and then come back and we'll be ready to go. Some of these other guys might be really pissed that they didn't get that opportunity. So just they can't wait for the season to restart so then get after it and prove everybody wrong. I hope that's the case.
Nice win last night, too.
It's a really nice win last night. It helps that the goaltender was as good as he was. Gibson was, I think, made 37 saves last night, something like that, out of 40 shots or 41 shots, whatever it was. He was great and kept the team in it because they got off to this great 3-0 start, but Ottawa's peppering the net with shots, had great opportunities, and they would occasionally score a goal, and things got a little nerve-wracking there, and then there was a goal that was disallowed right away, and okay, how are they going to answer that? And they did. They scored, and they were able to keep that lead because the goaltender did his job, and that's exactly what they were expecting him to be when they signed him in the offseason. They needed stability in the net, and I think they've got it right now. They're playing like it.
Yeah, good win, and coming off the Pittsburgh sweep by the Penguins, which was particularly a bitter thing. I think
they got 1 point, but yes.
They were happy to bounce back and get that win last night, to say the least. All right, coming up next hour, the best of what Dan Campbell told our morning show. We'll get to that today at 11:20 on 97.1.